Good morning. There we are. We welcome you this morning. Glad that you're with us here today. We've got a special day planned for this morning as well as the evening time that we have together. And we're glad that you're a part of it here today. We have several that we're welcoming here. And in just a little bit, we're going to give opportunity for those that are our special guests to have opportunity to introduce themselves and to make you aware of who they are and what God is doing in them. For our visitors, we are encouraged by your presence, and we hope that you'll be made to feel very welcome. And it, as well, I hope that you received a connection card, or you can do that online. But just a way for us to have a record of your visit, we hope that you'll take a moment, just give us whatever information you're willing to share so that we can maybe next time have opportunity to interact with you in a personal way. And today starts for us really officially. Last Sunday we had opportunity to have some missionaries with us that we were able to get in as well, and serving in the Ukrainian area, and that was good to be able to have an update from them. And but also then today officially starts what we call our mission emphasis. And for the next two Sundays, so this Sunday and next Sunday, excited to be able to have with us different missionaries and that we support and are encouraged by in their ministry and in their walk of faith as they trust the Lord in their different areas of influence. And so today we're going to have opportunity to hear from them and be able to listen more to what the Lord is doing in their lives. And just before we get started, just a reminder that today, following the morning service, as is our custom, we still will have a fellowship time. It's back in the fellowship hall. That's kind of, if you go out of those back doors and to your left, there's a long hallway that goes towards the other end of this building. And that is where we have some coffee and other refreshments and things like that. Just a simple reminder that this is not our facility. And so our hosts have just continued to ask that if we would just keep our refreshments back there. And Lord willing, when we get our own building, we'll be able to migrate and use our facilities in that way. But for now, we just ask that you respect that. And we're grateful for their willingness to host us here each week. And so after the fellowship time, we're going to be able to come back into here, really all of the classes and different groups, and those children's classes still be going on, but we want to make available opportunity for us to hear. And so today we'll have two different missionary groups that are going to be representing their mission endeavors, and so we'll be letting them speak and using that time, splitting it, and talking through what the Lord is doing in their ministries. And so looking forward to that. I'm going to ask our guests if they would just to come and kind of stand down here and just introduce themselves. And so the Cooks, if you would, and Melissa, and then also the Raymonds, if I could have you come as well. And I'm just going to kind of pass the mic, and they're going to share briefly. And you know, when a pastor says that, it really doesn't mean much to missionaries, but briefly, just a word or two just about who they are and what the Lord is doing and their what kind of their mission objectives. And then throughout the day, Jim is going to be speaking. I would kind of give him a little bit of a heads up here, and he knows that. All right. And he'll be speaking in this hour. And then the other two will be sharing that time. So, Jim, if you would introduce you and your wife, and we'll just pass this down through and give a brief introduction.
Okay. Jim Cook, my wife Susan. We were actually this church's first intern many, many years ago, back when the Cubs were losers. Oh, I'm sorry, they still are.
Good morning, Grace Baptist. I'm so happy to be home among my tribe and to share with you what God has been doing in my ministry. So come back at the 11 o'clock hour and get the full update. There's also a chance, raffle, to win two prizes. Come back.
All right, we're not giving away prizes, but we're giving away children if anybody's looking. No, I'm just...
Mine's a better deal.
We're Jeff and Becky Raymond. We serve with ABWE. And we're just so grateful that this church has been along our side for more than 10 years now. I mean, for you, that's two pastors ago. For us, that's three kids ago. But we're looking forward to sharing with you in the discipleship hour as well.
So today, you go ahead and have a seat. Thank you again. There's opportunity for us as a church to be refreshed and reminded of our mission endeavors. This is something that we at Grace Baptist really do hold dear, the opportunity to be reaching our world beyond our own borders. And I think in many ways that challenges us to think about our mission, our objective here as a church, what we're doing locally, and how the Lord is using us to continue to reach into the hearts and homes of people that may be right next door or right across the street. And so I trust that our hearts will be challenged and encouraged. There's a couple of thoughts that, you know, in my heart, I hope that we'll focus on through these next couple of Sundays, our heart of generosity. What are we doing as a church to continue to support a global endeavor of getting the gospel to reaches beyond, and thinking about how the Lord could use us individually as family units to be able to not only support them financially, but in prayer. And here's the other thing, of generosity of your time. Have you ever thought about a mission trip, going and seeing not just the sights and not just the sense of, you know, lands and places that you've never been, but what about a people group that need to hear the gospel? And how could the Lord use you personally in reaching them and sharing the good news of Christ? Have you ever thought about going on a mission trip? Maybe you've been on one and it's been a while. COVID kind of put the kibosh, it felt like, there for a time. But yet, as we are starting now to see lands open back up, visitors able to come back in, it's an opportunity for us. And so we are planning opportunities even into next year and a little bit beyond that. And so pray about that. And so that heart of generosity. The second thing I want you to pray for is a heart of submission. Am I willing to be what God wants me to be? If God is impressing my heart, would I be willing to serve him in a distant land? Or even some way, a mission endeavor that's maybe not necessarily outside the United States, but committing myself to a task of sharing the gospel specifically and strategically through some organization or through some ministry endeavor. And so be thinking about those two thoughts, generosity and submission. Would our hearts be open to seeing the Lord use me? How would I be able to be used by God to continue to further the gospel? And so trusting the Lord to lead us even this morning, and we're excited to be able to do that together. Make sure that you look at your bulletin. There's a lot of details in there. There's some special giving projects, and there's some opportunities for us to get connected in serving. One of the areas that we're excited about is our trunk or treat that's coming up on October the 29th from 5 o'clock to 7 p.m. And this is a way for us to create some intentional conversations with people, sharing the gospel, having opportunities to re-engage with our community. And so looking forward to that. And if you know of a family member or a friend that has any children, make sure they know that this is available. And looking forward to the opportunity to be visible again in our community. Be right there on our property outside of our children's center and the mission house. And so excited about that. That's coming up here in the couple weeks, or next week. Also, there's some other details there that is important for you to know about, especially for this Sunday and for next. And so as you have opportunity, make sure that you take a moment to look at that. There are several that we're praying for, and to continue to pray for Beth Bennett. And she is doing much better, but continue to pray for her. And then also we have others that have been going through some different physical challenges, and then there are some that are just really challenged spiritually in some different areas and walks of life. So just continue to remember these, if you would, as we go through the days ahead. Now, a little bit later on in the service, and this is really to welcoming those who are joining us online, there is going to be a brief video that Jim Cook is going to be showing that is really filmed in and about a part of the world that is considered, I guess you would say, a place where ministry objectives are in a dangerous position. It's one of those unreached groups that we're continuing to see the Lord penetrate through and to be able to get the gospel into, but it does create the potential for creating danger for those that are truly serving there. And so we keep that in a kind of in a close-knit group. And so if you're watching online for about 4 minutes roughly, we're going to have to cut off sound and video. And that's something that Jim emphasized, just to protect those people that are serving there and also our ministry here. So it's a way for us to be aware of what's going on, but keeping that in mind. And so Jim will also remind us of that when he gets ready to introduce that. Well, we're going to begin our service with a thought that we have been emphasizing here in our church, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 4. And so let's stand together, if you would, in verse 15, Ephesians 4, verse 15. And this verse reminds us again of our ability to take truth and put it into action, to let love be expressed. And truth in action in love is something that is both verbal but also something that is lived out. How does our life communicate? And to think about that we are to grow up and letting him be the head. And this is really then that reflection of our mindset. Are we truly reflecting Christ? Not just here, but everywhere that we go. And so thinking about this as we prepare our hearts even this morning before Fred and the team come and lead us in worship and our music, I hope that we will prepare ourselves to let the Lord minister to us today. So let's say this verse together as a church, and then we'll open a word of prayer together. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, Christ. And so thinking about that, let's grow up a little bit today. All right? Father, I pray that you bless us this morning, and grateful for the opportunity to worship together with these dear people. Looking forward to the ministry of hearing how you're using others around the world, and may you be honored and glorified in that. Lord, there are several that we pray for, Lord, knowing that they're not able to be here today with us physically, but trusting that God will, that you would encourage their hearts even today. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll prepare our hearts to have a heart open to being generous, Lord, with our time, with our treasures, Lord, with the abilities that you've given to us, may we reflect you well. But Lord, submission, as someone is speaking and addressing a need in a distant land, Lord, would you have me go? Would you call us to serve you in a place that needs to hear, needs people to speak the truth in love to them about the person of Jesus Christ? So bless our time, we pray. May you be honored and glorified. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Adam. It's a privilege to be with you this morning and lead you in worship. Psalm 145 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." We have the awesome privilege this morning of lifting our voices and praising our great God together, a great God that gave us salvation, right? And we'll sing about that in just a minute as well, and an eternity that we have to anticipate to spend with him. Let's sing this morning. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing.
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of our God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our tempest cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. My gracious Master, mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved, for God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only
Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
Who is the great King of glory?
The great King of glory, seated on high in the heavens, oh, Jesus, you alone. You are the Lord God Almighty, strong in compassion and mercy, oh, Jesus, you alone. The world for a love that could fill my heart, but nothing compares to the wonder of who you are. Holy, all the earth singing holy, all the angels cry holy, Jesus, you set the stars in the heavens. You set the world into motion. Oh, Jesus, you alone. You breathe your life in creation. You walked among your created. Oh,
just you alone. And I've searched the world for a love that could fill my heart, but nothing compares to the wonder of who you are. Holy, all the earth singing holy, all the angels cry holy. You shed your blood for salvation. You broke the curse for our freedom. Oh, Jesus, you alone. Oh, you rose from death with the morning. You'll come again in your glory. Oh, Jesus, you alone. Out holy, Jesus, you alone. Worthy, I lift my voice and sing. Worthy, I bow my life to exalt thee, Jesus, you alone. Jesus, you
God, we lift those praises to you today. We're not even worthy to do that. But we pray you accept that sweet sacrifice from our lips, from our hearts this morning to exalt you, Jesus, you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Great singing this morning. Grateful for that. And I hope that our hearts will carry that thought with us as we go through. He alone is holy. It's what separates us from everything else. It's what calls us to live life of distinction and value. It's worthy in the sense of that he alone is the one who bears really the grandeur, the title that we are living under. And I hope that we will reflect that well. It's good to have Jim Cook and his wife here with us and appreciate the opportunity to, again, connect face. And, you know, having been here not quite 3 years and getting to see and meet our missionaries, and this is a joy when we come to this time. And so, Jim, I'm going to ask you to come and share with us today how the Lord would lead you to do so. And, again, reminder about the video and things like that. So you go right ahead and take it over and make sure that that's on and you're ready to go. All right.
Pastor Adam, it's a joy to be here. And if you guys will just turn off the live stream for a little bit And I'll explain to you why that is, and you'll understand when we get to that point. And little did I know what God would do, and you're a part of it. I'm going to tell you just a few stories, and I'll show you a short video, and then I'll preach after that. When I finished the dissertation, 99 Adventures in the Bible's Big Story, it's in 9 languages right now. It'll be 15 languages by the end of next year. It's unbelievable what God has done, and I'll tell you just a few stories. 3 or 4 years ago, we met with a group of pastors in Calcutta, India, just to tell them, good job, you're doing a good work. One of the guys, the pastor, said, can I bring a visitor? I said, sure. He brought a visitor. The guy was the leader of 900 churches in southern India. He saw 99 Adventures, took it home with him, and said, can we translate this into Swara? I'd never heard the people get group of Swara. They have 900 churches right now with 40 to 50,000 kids in their churches now, that in about 1 month from right now, Susan and I will go to train 30 leaders, and they're asking, how do we take this to the other 900 churches? So we'll buy them a printer, they'll print their own 99 Adventures free, it won't cost, I don't make anything from this. You can buy it off of Amazon, you can buy it as a free download off of our website, 99adventures.org, or a download, and it's always free. We're not charging for anybody to have anything. So in just about a month, we'll do 3 different trainings. One of those trainings is for the Swara people that will go back and train their people in 900 churches to reach 40 to 50,000 kids with the gospel of Jesus Christ from teaching from the Bible from beginning to end. Mandarin is done now. We can't get it out of China because Chinese government has cracked down on the internet and the airports, so even VPNs, if you know anything about internet, can't get out. So we have Mandarin ready. We have people in 10 different leaders that will come to Thailand to meet us sometime next year, and we'll train them. And they have thousands of house church leaders that will train their people how to teach kids about Jesus from the beginning to the end using this curriculum. I'm going to show you a video of Nepal. These are our friends. Actually, many of the people that you're going to see on the video in just a few minutes are teaching this very weekend as we've trained them how to teach the Bible chronologically. But then we have another advanced leadership training called advanced leadership training so that they do their work themselves. They plan, they prepare, and we're grateful for your support, your kindness, your generosity, and we pray that that will continue for quite a while. We're happy to be a part of the church. At the back is some prayer cards for all the missionaries. I don't know how to tell you this. I will say this to every church we're going to, and I don't know how many times it hits deaf ears, so I'll just say it again and hope that it doesn't hit deaf ears. We need your prayers. We need you to put confidence in God that God will work through us. And I'll tell you just one real quick prayer request. My wife was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease 12 years ago. In the last year, she's gone to Cuba, Nepal, Dominican Republic, Chile. We're leaving for India in 1 month, and I'm probably leaving something out. You can't do that if you have 12 years diagnosed into Parkinson's. We need your prayers. Susan wants to go. She's able to go right now, and we'll continue to go. Please pray for us. We're supported financially, and many of you are praying for us, but if you would grab not just our prayer card, but the others that are out there too in the back room, take it and just pray regularly for us, we would greatly appreciate it, and we need your prayers. Now we want to bring the live stream up, if it's not up already, and want to open the scriptures. What's the greatest commandment ever given? One teacher of the law asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment ever given? And Jesus answered with answers in Deuteronomy and answers in Leviticus. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, didn't he? And I began thinking of who and how, is it said of anybody in Scripture, he loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as I've searched the Scriptures, I could only find one individual that it was said of, he loved the Lord his God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you know who that person was? In the Old Testament, there's about 40 kings. of those 40 kings, only 8 of them are called good. One of those is Josiah. And I want to tell you just Josiah's story. Josiah was grew up in a really bad situation. His grandfather Manasseh ruled for 55 years, extremely wicked. His father was so wicked, he only reigned for 2 years and they murdered him. So for the 57 years before Josiah became king at age 8, for the 57 years before that, all the nation knew was wickedness, ungodly practices, gods, but kinds of gods all over, practices that were exceptionally sinful and not pleasing to God. So if you were to look at Josiah's opportunities, they would be limited, you would think. If you were saying, I'm going to guess that that guy's going to make it, or this is the most likely to succeed out of your high school class, you would not have picked Josiah to be the next good leader. But in 2 Kings chapter 22, we read this. In 2 Kings chapter 22, we read Josiah was 8 years old. And in the 18th year, verse 3 of his reign, King Josiah sent Shaphan, son of Azaziah, and grandson of Meshullam, the court secretary, to the temple of the Lord. He told him, go to Hilkiah, the high priest, and have him count the money the gatekeepers have collected from the people at the Lord's temple. Skip down to 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8. Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the court secretary, I have found the book of the law in the Lord's temple. Then Hilkiah gave the scroll to Shaphan, and he read it. Basically, what had happened was this. There was so much wickedness that there was a scroll, some kind of scroll, probably Deuteronomy, in the what would be our current day church, the temple, but it had been lost. Nobody was reading it. Nobody was following it. Nobody cared. Nobody even knew it was there. And they went to do some reconstruction, some remodeling and stuff like that, and they found this scroll, and they come back and read it, and this is what happened. Hilkiah the high priest, verse 8, said to Shaphan the court secretary, I found the book in the law in the Lord's temple. Then Hilkiah gave the scroll to Shaphan, and he read it. Shaphan went to the king and reported, your officials have turned over the money collected at the temple of the Lord to the workers and supervisors at the temple. Shaphan also told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a scroll. So Shaphan began read it to the king. When the king heard what was written in the book of the law, now Josiah is now 26 years old, he tore his clothes in despair. Repentance is basically what that's saying. Then he gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan, the court secretary, and Asaiah, the king's personal advisor. Go to the temple and speak to the Lord for me, for the people, for all Judah. Inquire about the words written in the scroll that has been found, for the Lord's great anger is burning against us because our ancestors have not obeyed the words in the scroll. We have not been doing everything we must do. Skip to chapter 23, verse 1, 2 Kings. Then the king summoned all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the temple of the Lord with all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, with the priests, the prophets, and all the rest of the people from the least to the greatest. There the king read to them the entire book of the covenant that had been placed in the Lord's temple. The king took his place of authority beside the pillar and renewed the covenant in the Lord's presence. He pledged to obey the Lord by keeping all his commands, laws, and decrees with all of his heart and soul. In this way, he confirmed all the terms of the covenant that were written in the scroll, and all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. And then last, just a few verses at the end, verse 24 and 25. Josiah got rid of the mediums and psychics and the household gods, the idols, and every other kind of detestable practice, both in Jerusalem, throughout the land of Judah. He did this in obedience to the laws written in the scroll that Hilkiah the priest had found in the Lord's temple. Never before had there been a king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all of his heart and soul and strength, obeying all the laws of Moses And there's never been a king like him since. Let's pray. Holy Father, as I've read many times now the story of Josiah and thought about it, I thank you for the example of one man. You put it in his heart to hear your words and then obey you with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name, help us to understand. Amen. So it occurred to me, Josiah is the only one that I can find in Scripture that obeyed the Lord with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And here's simply what happened. He found the Word of God. He repented of his sin, and he turned to God with all everything he had. Sometimes I think missionaries are thought of as those kinds of people, but in reality, it's any of us. Regardless of your age, regardless of your gender, regardless of your experiences, regardless of your personal history, or what lies ahead of you, God has not put anybody on the shelf that can't be revived through repentance. It merely happens when we deeply engage in the Word of God. And that's not just something pastors do. It's not just something missionaries do. It's not just something people that are on a missions committee do. This is something that all of us as believers have a responsibility to deeply engage in the Word of God. And that's what I would like to ask you, to challenge you, to help you think about this. How deeply engaged are you personally in the Word of God? I knew of a mission board member, not with our mission, but a different mission board, that he asked every missionary two questions, and they had to pass these two questions. How's your time alone with the Lord? What did you read today in the Bible? If you didn't answer that successfully, then what'd you read yesterday? What have you read recently? And if there wasn't any kind of response to that that was positive, that guy didn't make it to the mission board. I want to ask you, how deeply engaged are you personally? Not as your pastor, not as a missionary, not anything. I'll assure you that I'm meeting with the Lord each day. But how deeply engaged are you in the Word of God? Josiah had a bad family history. He didn't have anything going for him. They didn't even know where the Bible was. It was tucked away and found in some renovation project at the temple. But because two men ventured in and found something, probably Deuteronomy, there became a great repentance in the land. And of all the 40 kings, and now only eight that were called good, one of them started as an eight-year-old and began a genuine repentant lifestyle at age 26 because he interacted with the Word of God. He deeply engaged in the Word of God. And I began to look then from, if this is the only guy that I see that I can find that is said of, he obeyed the Lord with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, what are other people that deeply engaged in the Bible? And I began to think of many that were like that. Listen to the words of Moses. These words in the same context as Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Moses. His successor, Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I had that verse when I was in the Navy, posted on my barracks room when I was in Pearl Harbor. One of my friends asked me, why does it say this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth? And I don't think I had a really good answer. It's been so many years ago, I can't remember what my answer was, but it probably wasn't good. But what I think about it now is, get that Word of God deeply engaged in you, regardless of how old you are, regardless of how well you memorize or don't memorize, regardless of how well you study or don't study. Get deeply involved in the Word of God. Make this the book, not a book. Moses was like that. Joshua was like that. Josiah was like that. Listen to the words of Ezra. Ezra was just what we would call an administrative assistant today. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. and to teach in Israel its statutes and judgments. His first priority was to seek the law of the Lord, to seek what does God say about anything, and to do it, and then to teach it. That seems like a pretty good formula for me. As I was researching, I found Psalm 119 is a chapter of the Bible that's about 172 verses. All of them, or almost all of them, have to do with the Word of God, and Ezra is probably the author. It's not stated who the author is, but Ezra also is said, "Oh, how I love thy law," Psalm 119, verse 97. "It is my meditation all the day." Are you deeply engaged in the Word of God every day? This is something for all of us, folks. This is not just something for a few. This is something for all of us. Isaiah said, "The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." Jeremiah said, "Your words were found, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Amos said, "There's going to be a famine, not of bread, not of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." The psalmist said, and David said in Psalm chapter 1, he said, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Somebody was deeply engaged in the word of God. David, Josiah, Ezra, Moses, Joshua, and I began to see this continuity of, it may not have been said about them that they loved the Lord their God with all their heart and soul, mind and strength, but they did have something in common other than that, and that is they had a commitment to the scriptures to daily understand, what does God say? Will I follow it? Will I engage in it? When I first started driving, I started on a stick shift. And I didn't know how to drive a stick shift. My dad was trying to teach me, much to his frustration. And I would put the clutch down and then let off the gas. And I would granny hop the thing over and over and over. We didn't have video back in those, much video. Anyway, the car would be bouncing because I would put in on the clutch, and then I would let off because it was not going anywhere, and I'd let off and it would bounce up, and I kept doing that over and over and over, and my dad was really frustrated with me because I wasn't engaging the clutch in the right way. When I learned how to do that, it became simpler, and I don't know if that made my dad's life any easier when I learned how to engage the clutch properly, but how deeply engaged are you in this book? It's not just something missionaries do. Sometimes I think, as we've worked with kids, kids, that's good for them to memorize scripture. Almost like it's good for kids to memorize scripture, but it's not good for, I can't memorize like I used to. Well, if you can't memorize like you used to, then maybe you just need to spend more time at it. Because God wants us to deeply engage in what his word says. Follow his instructions, follow his commands, follow the precepts, follow whatever he says to be do or not do. It's not just for kids, it's not just for somebody else, it's for all of us to be deeply engaged in the scripture. What does Samuel say? "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And I'm afraid sometimes as I travel around and even watch my own life and maybe others, I'm not listening sometimes. Are you listening? Are you listening to his voice? Are you reading daily? Are you memorizing, studying? Are you devoted to following whatever he says in this book? Because great men of God had this in harmony with each other. They learned, they studied, they meditated, they memorized. They devoted themselves to whatever God had to say in this very special book of communication that he's given to us. And those that deeply engaged did some things for him that were pretty amazing. And God made them fruitful because of that. We learn from Jeremiah 17 and also from Psalm chapter 1 that those who delighted in the word were fruitful. Paul said it like to this way to the Ephesian church. And now I entrust you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance, which among all them that are being sanctified. Paul said this to the Colossian church. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Paul said this to the Philippian church. Hold firmly to the word of life so that when Christ returned, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain. When Paul tells the Colossian church to hold firmly to the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. When he tells the Philippian church to hold firmly to the word of God, do you think that means that he's like me, like, hold tight, like grab this thing really good? I don't think so. I think what he's saying is, make sure you engage in the word of God. Make sure whatever this book says, you follow. And just one quick aside. You remember what Josiah did when he engaged in the word of God? You remember the first thing that happened for him? Repentance. He saw where he and the people around him and the country had failed their God. Those that deeply engaged in the scriptures experience regular repentance. I'm a little bit farther along down the track now, and I think I understand repentance a little bit better than I did earlier in my life. All of life is repentance. It's turning from sin. And if I mess up today, repent, tell God about it, do my best to rely on him to never do whatever again. Engaging in the scripture, God's word, repenting from sin, whatever displeases him, and following him with all of my heart. Paul told Timothy, his faithful follower, listen to this. And I memorized the book of 2 Timothy years ago, but the word of God is present in every chapter. Chapter 1, verse 14, carefully guard the precious truth, Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, 15, the Awana theme verse, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. 2 Timothy 3, 15, and that from a child that hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. Every scripture, every chapter had a commendation to the word of God. How deeply engaged are you personally, daily, in the scriptures? God has given us an instruction book. Most of us, when we get a car or a new something, we skip over the instruction book. We just kind of assume, well, we'll figure it out as we go along, and as we go along, when it breaks or doesn't work or we can't figure it out, we'll read the instructions then. That's kind of not the best way to do that in the Christian life. God's given us instruction book, teach us how to believe and how to act. We're to follow that. And we're to follow it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. You want to follow the greatest commandment? You want to be a part of that team? Do you want to be a part of the group that says, I'm following you, Jesus, with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Then grab your copy of the scriptures. Find a place to begin and start reading. When I began my committed Christian walk at age 18 when I was in the Navy, I was in San Diego, California at Naval Training Center. A group of guys, the name of the Navigators, said, get your Bible, find a place alone, and read. I didn't know where to read. I can't remember this far back, but you probably could have told me that the Book of Concordance was the last book of the Bible, and the book of the table of contents was the first book of the Bible, and I would have believed you. I didn't know anything about the Bible except blessed are you when you're poor in spirit and humble and all that stuff. So I went under the street light lamp on Rosecrans Boulevard in San Diego. Nobody there with me. Sat under, it was early in the morning, and under the street light, I got my Bible and I began reading, I think in John, and read a chapter, and I really wasn't sure what I was reading or how are you supposed to. They talked about this thing called a quiet time. And whatever they talked about in the quiet time, it was gold to them. But I kind of thought it was like transcendental meditation, where you just kind of sit there and kind of wait for some vision to happen and something. And I didn't know if God showed up or anything. I just didn't have any idea how all that stuff worked. And then I began meeting with the Lord with my Bible and a prayer list 50 years ago, right now. In fact, 50 years ago this month in San Diego, California. And that's really what changed my life. The navigators call it TAWG, time alone with God, T-A-W-G. How's your time alone with God? Do you spend time with him? Do you look for time? I want to say to you with whatever I can from the scriptures, great men of God read, consumed, digested, wanted, inculcated. They wanted what God had to say. And when they realized what God had to say, that changed their life. It gave them motivation. It gave them repentance. It gave them fruitfulness. And to all of us, I would say, how's your time alone with God? The chairman of my missions committee used to be a missionary in Assam, India. When he was in Assam, India as a medical doctor, somebody with leprosy came to him. The leper went to the hospital. The doctor, our missions committee chairman, gave him a Bible and said, just read the Bible, would you? Just read the Bible. This gentleman said this, and I'll never forget his quote, I read the Bible to find fault with the Bible, but the Bible found fault with me. He became a believer, and now his son is a committed pastor in a large work in a restricted access country, all because one believer gave an unbeliever a Bible and said, read this. And that man said, I read the Bible to find fault with the Bible, but the Bible found fault with me. At Christmas, we have a special thing that we do in our church. Our public school system allows us to know who poor or families are in our area. And they give us the names, and then we take them shopping with about $50 per family, sometimes more than that, of things that they might need or want. They pick out, we go to Walmart, they pick the store, and we say, our budget is about $50. But one thing that Susan and I are going to do this year with ours is we're going to put a Bible in our group. And just say, read the Bible. You may not have read it much, but you'll find it's a great source of help, hope, and strength. And perhaps something like Josiah will happen. But if not, his word will not return to him void. Now let me close you with the words of our Lord. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, his words, will never pass away. How deeply engaged are you in this book? And if you are repenting from sin, following Christ, obeying what you find. Nobody's perfect. But when we find what we're doing wrong, what we've said wrong, what we've done wrong, what we've thought wrong, what's displeasing to him, repent from that, keep seeking him, keep following him, and keep engaging in the scriptures. May God help us to be people who have said, but his delight was in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. May God help us. Lord Jesus, we call on you right now to do great and mighty things. Use your word, Lord, as you did in Josiah and those that were around him, the whole country of Judah. Use your word in my life, and as our friends teach in Nepal and Cuba this weekend, help them, help their kids, Father, to see Jesus in the scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. There's a verse that early on in my life as a young teenage boy, the Lord impressed upon my heart, Psalm 33:4, the word of the Lord is upright and all his work is done in faithfulness. As we think about in anything where there is success, not in the way the world would view it, but in the eyes of God, it usually is seed-bedded because we are living out his word. And a great reminder for us today that that is what we possess, something we have the opportunity to enjoy and to take into our lives. How are you connecting life with what his word has told you? Are you really measured by his estimation of success? We're going to stand together, if you would, and as we close our time here this morning and enjoying fellowship in just a little bit and then coming back, and we'll be hearing from Melissa and hearing from Jeff and learning more about their ministries to Italy and serving in other parts of the world. As we get an opportunity even to hear about work that is being done in hard-to-get places and appreciating the work that amazing children's curriculum, but yet if we could just have the faith as a child. And may the Lord open doors of opportunity. I hope that you will engage with these that are serving and others that are back there. We have others that are sharing in their ministry, Scott Staub and Mrs. Merritt now, and appreciate the work that they're doing. And so engage with them, learn about them, be in prayer for them, but take to heart even this morning what we've been challenged with his word. I'm going to ask Fred to take our time here as we close here this morning, and may this song and may our affections for the word of God grow and deepen, and our love for the Lord and one another, and may we continue to be the people that God has called us to be.
Sing with me.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard your voice, and it told your love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer to the cross where thou hast died.
Invite you to join us back in the fellowship hall for a brief time of fellowship and then discipleship hour in here for the adults at 11 o'clock. Lord bless you.